Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Just recently, I talked about, you know, having a heavenly focus, living as holy strangers, and at the Dream Center, and you got to get that. Hopefully, that's available for you on in the VFN TV store. But in the context, you think about it, we're called to live as holy strangers. Mm-hmm. That holy meaning not, you know, more holier than thou, but in regards to we're God's. You know, we're His. And we're His disciples, and we follow Him, and He saved us. He brought us out of the world, and that's really what the church really means, you know, just pulled out of the world. And now we're His. We're the body of Christ. And then He tells us to live, you know, you think about Abraham said in Hebrews that he lived as a stranger, as an alien. Mm-hmm. You think about it, in his own land. And you think, my goodness, you know, sometimes we try to settle down too much in this life and in the white picket fence and this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know what? 95% of American Christians do not win one person to the Lord in their entire lifetime. Hmm. Because we kind of settle down. We're not strangers. We've conformed.
Right.
Instead of not conforming to the patterns of this world. And he tells us, you know, do not be conformed to the patterns of the cultures, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think one of the big struggles that we're having today, you know, keeping the conversation light, you know, what's really going on in today's society in America is that we've become a subculture to the world, and they see us as a subculture. You know, you are us, but you're also the church.
Right.
And no matter how the world sees us, we are what God says we are. And he tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world. And he tells us to be holy. When you think about that, that's like separate yourself in the context of how the world does things and do things in your life in the same place that you've always been, but do it unto the Lord. So you still go to your job, but now you do your job better and you work at your job as unto the Lord because he's the one that rewards you. And so it's not about, you know, holier than thou stuff. It's like you're still showing up at work, you're still doing your job, but you're just doing it better now.
Right.
And so when you think about that, you know, living as a holy stranger, and it's like, well, you know, when will I enjoy life? People say, well, you know, aren't you supposed to enjoy life? Didn't God say you're supposed to have, you know, well, the American gospel, you know, all the different things that mm-hmm. that's preached, and people are going like, the only one that has it is the one that's preaching that.
Yeah, right.
But understand that you may be an American, but you also may be in India somewhere, you know, a very impoverished country, or you may be in China, or you may be in North Korea, or you may be in Israel, or you may be in Iraq. Either way, you know, you're in the body of Christ and you're a Christian living as a holy stranger. And you think about it, if it really was about this American dream, you know, and that's what the church has preached so much about, you know, God doesn't love you if you don't have this, 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 and this. But if you have this, this, and this, you're obviously loved by God and you're doing what's right. And that's not true. If you actually read the Word of God, you'll find out quite often, you know, many people had a lot of things. The rich young ruler walked away from Jesus himself and said, you know, he was sad because to follow Jesus mean for him that he had to give up his stuff and his mm-hmm. things. And the rich young man that wouldn't even touch Lazarus outside of his gates. Well, he had a lot of stuff and things, but he wasn't right with God. He went to hell. And the one that was homeless and outside with all the sores and stuff, he got healed and he went to heaven. And you think about that. So it's not what, you know, some of the twistedness that's been taught. But in the context of that, it's like the reason why is because we have a place. I want to encourage you. That there is a place that's being built for you. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, Jesus says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't be coming back for you. You think about it. Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for his church. And it's like, you know what? I am, and this is what Paul said. He said, listen, if Christians, if all we have is the hope is in this lifetime, then we should be pitied more than anybody else. And quite often, because the church is so earthly focused and because obviously the world just sees us as, you know, what are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. and because they don't see beyond, and that you see this downcastness. But when you begin to look at the fact, wait a minute, there's God is preparing heaven, not it's for you. Well, there's no more tears, no more sickness, no more disease. And not only that, he's preparing a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and old things are going to pass away and all things are going to become new. It's a heavenly city that he wants to live with you forever. This right now, this life right now is just for us to be able to bring him glory. Mm-hmm. It's to live for him in this lifetime. I like to call it premarital counseling. This is for us because we're going to be married to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, as the bride of Christ for eternity. We're going to be presented before the Father. Father's going to present us to his Son at a big wedding banquet. And this is like, you know, I want to be able to be a loyal spiritual spouse, if you will. I want to be loyal to Jesus. And I want to be longing for his return. And so I started thinking about, you know, if I was to die today as a believer, I win.
Mm, yeah.
I win. And there's so many people that call themselves Christians, they're worried about death. They're fearing death. But Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he took away the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So you don't have to fear death. Why are you so afraid to die? Mm. Think about it. Right. Everybody's trying so hard to live, they never do.
Right.
They drive 400 miles an hour trying to just to go home and watch TV. And it's like, what? Was this what you're doing? Is this your life? We're Christians. We are part of the kingdom of God. The God of the universe, whose Son is Jesus Christ, whose Spirit dwells inside of us. This world's not our home. And so we can live as holy strangers. Think about this. I want to encourage you to begin to live as a holy stranger. You know, treating people the way God says treat people. Being loving and kind and forgiving and sharing the good news of the kingdom and operating in godly principles with your business and at work and in your finance and all those different things, your relationships. But understand that you're not banking on things having to work out some certain way in this world. They've already worked out. They worked out on the cross. They worked out on the cross. We've won already. The only reason, Paul said, the only reason that I'm here for God. I don't mind being there with God, but if I'm here on earth, I'm here for God. And this meant that Paul, even when he was being stoned, even when he was being beat, even when he was being in prison, even when he was in double chains standing before the king, it didn't even faze him because he wasn't trying to find his fulfillment in this life. He already had it in Jesus Christ. He even told the king when he was in double chains before the king. He said, I wish you were like me except for these chains. Man, if all you're thinking about is an earthly viewpoint, you know, somebody would think, well, he's being falsely accused. He's in prison right now. He's living this horrific life. A mob almost killed him. And why would he want to be like that? Because Jesus found Paul on the road to Damascus. He met Jesus. He met the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is an exciting thing. And people will weigh you down if you don't understand where they are focusing. They're focusing their life and their intention about what this life is about. If you're watching them downcast and sad and they're like anchors and it's like, my goodness, what is going on? Have you forgot about the good news of Jesus Christ? Have you forgot that you're saved outside of your, brought you outside of your sins, saved us from our sins, brought us into the family of God? Not only are we we're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's powerful. We are co-laborers, ambassadors of this kingdom here on earth. And it's like, but we've got to pull ourselves out and untwine our vision of thinking, because you have to understand, if truly the prosperity gospel, and I'm for prosperity, believe me, but if it works so well, we got to stop preaching in America because we are already richer than 70% of the world. We need to go to Nepal and preach it. We need to go down to some very poor, I mean, think about it. The poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the population of 7 billion people. We need to take you up and drop you with a parachute down in these impoverished nations so you can begin to preach prosperity so that suddenly, you know, they will come up and they'll be a quote, like America. You're saying that your gospel was the reason for America. And the truth is God blessed America.
Right.
That's why it is. And so And I'm for prosperity, please. I'm, you know. But the whole thing is that if it that was really it. And the thing is, no, you can actually be living on a fixed income and you have a Social Security income coming into you. Maybe you're a viewer right now on Christian Television Network. And you're thinking, you know, you're hearing all this prosperity and all this other kind of stuff. And you're looking, you know, you got just enough money for your food and you have some medical coverage and you have a house and you love Jesus, you know, and you're living your life out. Listen, that's a blessing. You're blessed. But understand, too, that the moment you go to be with this life is over, you're going to be with the Lord. If he doesn't come back, if all of a sudden, you know, the Lord come back while you're alive. I mean, you're going to be with God. You're going to win. We're all going to be the same. I like 90 Minutes in Heaven, and hopefully there'll be a related article to this. I want to talk a little bit more about that because when we get there, despite how we are in this life, as he said, when he got to heaven, he spent 90 minutes there and began to look around at everybody. We looked a lot better than we do now because everything was fixed. We are talking about living as holy strangers. I mean, think about it, that, you know, you may be wondering, this is the question that a lot of people have, especially young kids, but truly just people quit talking about it, but this is what they feel. But young kids, they immediately begin to think about, I don't fit in. I don't fit in. All they want to do, all a teenager wants to do, they just want to fit in. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't want any big names necessarily. I mean, there are those that want their name up in lights, Glee and all that. But but there is, they just want to fit in. And the truth is, none of them feel like they fit in, you know, but that's a struggle. But yet it happens even in life when people say, you know, I've joined this fellowship, this church gathering here, this church, and I just don't feel like I fit in, you know, no matter I'm in something, maybe you're in the office and like, there's these clicks going on. I don't fit into that. But Paul tells us very specifically in Romans 12, Verses 2, he says, you know, do not conform, do not fit into the patterns of this world. We're supposed to live as strangers. I mean, we really are. And what's so important is if you continue to love people, even though you don't fit in, they're going to, you know, turn on each other and all that kind of stuff's going to go on. And they're going to look to you, a stable figure in society, and they're going to ask you, you know, what do you think? Can you pray for me? Can you help me? What do you think about this situation? But if you get in the whole thing, if you fit in, at some point you're fitting out of the kingdom. If you start fitting into darkness and ways that God says, you know, don't do, then you're no longer fitting into the kingdom. And so the struggle that people have about, you know, wanting to, I just feel like a stranger. And it's like, that's really good because that makes you, what you want to do is find some other strangers that are living as holy strangers, mm-hmm. called the church. And hang out with them and love on each other. And then go out into your life every day and love them even though you don't fit in with them. Even maybe they won't even let you fit. That's a gift, by the way, if they won't let you fit in. If they're in dark ways and they're doing things that are not right and they don't let you fit in, thank God for that. And quite often, you know, Christian parents have children that they're wanting to raise up in the ways of God, but they're struggling inside going, you know, I just want Bobby to fit in at school. And it's like, the reason why he doesn't fit in is because he knows God. And you're trying to get him meshed into that. And it's like, you know, teach him how to fellowship with fellow young people who are believers, maybe the youth in your church or whatever it is. And think about that. And he's like, you know what? Maybe it's good. You know, maybe it's good. But really the truth is when you think about it, that, we actually honor folks that don't fit in, the ones that just step outside the norm and become successful because you got to step outside of what is. For what, one particular statistic I heard, that 3% of America employs the other 97%.
Wow.
Well, that 3% had to step outside of being employed to become an employer. I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's a small little number. 97% of America is employed by 3%. Mm-hmm. That 3% is there. Everywhere you look is 3%.
Everywhere.
I'd like for this whole 3% to get together. We can change the world.
No doubt.
And, you know, and so somebody steps outside and says, you know what? I just wanted to start my own business. I wanted to be able to bring this vision to pass. I wanted to be, I mean, think about Charles Seymour with the Azusa Street Revival. I mean, he stepped out of the norm. The norm was to be repressed, to be segregated, to be put down, that God couldn't use you, and even his own spiritual father, the way Charles Parham, you know, rejected him, and how, but he didn't let that get to him. And he just stepped out of the norm and began to cry out for revival. And who else was doing that? You know, to our knowledge, this was in the midst of, you know, all the things that took place and the earthquakes that took place in that area, that he cried out to God, and God moved. God answered. That's huge. And what we call the Azusa Street Revival, and it's, and think about it, it was in a stable. It was in a place where horses were kept. That's where it was, where they gathered at. So it's not about, and good buildings are nice, and those are nice. I mean, who doesn't want a good building? But nobody wants a good mortgage, you know.
Right. Like,
but it did, God was able to move in a stable. And this is the big thing, is because we have to participate in the move of God. If we can't find God in a stable, then we won't find God in a stable. If we can't find God in anywhere, and only here, we may never find God anywhere, because we have to say, I want God. Wherever he's at, I want to be there. But you think Jesus was born in a stable.
Right.
He was born in a stable. And so you have to step outside. You know, Charles Seymour said, you know, he rented a room in this house, and he began to pray for, you know, he wanted desperately a move of God. And we really desperately, you know, want a move of God, know that we need the presence of God, know that. But, you know, if you look at the norm, if you look even in the context of the American church today, you know, what's the church doing? What's really going on? You know, I don't want one more teaching.
Right.
You know, you think about it. It's like, why teach one more thing that the church is not going to do? Right?
Right.
We need God to touch us, to touch our hearts, to say, you know, I want to do what you're teaching. You know, I want to do the word. I want to do the will of God. And that takes a powerful move of God, and we're believing for a third great awakening. And so when you look at Charles Seymour, he stepped outside the norm. He stepped outside the norm. You looked at Dowie. Dowie stepped outside the norm. Oral Roberts, he stepped outside the norm. On and on and on. You could talk about Amy Semple McPherson. Come on, I mean, she was a lady in ministry. She didn't even want to even start the Four Square Church, but nobody would accept her fruit or ministry because she was a woman. They wouldn't even accept it. So she had to start the Four Square Church, and God used her powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's where the Assembly of God's roots and all that comes from.
Right.
That. And you have to be willing to say, you know what, I don't care, even as one of God's folks, that I don't fit in. It's okay. What is God calling you to do? Because if Christ is in you, you fit in to the family of God. You fit into the kingdom of God. That's an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be able to bring people to God instead of you and leading others and to fit into the world system. But this is what Paul said. Paul said, you know, do not conform. Don't fit into the cultures of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, why does your clothes have to look like this culture's? And it's progressing. I mean, the clothes look different all the time, but why is something inside of you say, I have to look like everybody else looks? And I'm not saying, you know, wear clothes up to your chin and stuff, but just whatever. I mean, why not just be yourself? You know, why not be what God has called you to be? You know, how the Joneses are going, or what your neighbor is doing, or you have a perfectly fine apartment, a house, a place that you're living, but you're looking what other people have, and you're thinking, you know, I want to have what they have. It's like you're wanting to fit in. You know, you should really think about, you know, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe you want me to sell all this and just go to the mission field. And think about the Moravians. I mean, the Moravians, who they prayed for, 100 years? You know, they prayed for 100 years, and they sent missionaries out. And some of these Moravian missionaries, this is what they did. They stepped out of the norm, and they said, listen, there are slaves on this particular island here who nobody's brought the gospel to. We want to be able to win them and let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. We want to affect them with the gospel and the kingdom and bless them. So they sold themselves into slavery. They sold themselves into slavery and said goodbye to their wives, said goodbye to their children, never to see them again. I mean, how many people in America says, I can't follow God because this and that and the other, or, you know, my wife says don't follow God, or my husband says don't follow God, or my children say, they, you know, they'll be mad at me if I follow God. It's like, what is God saying?
Right.
Quit fitting in to the world and start fitting into the kingdom of God. And there's so many people right now that are desperate and need to know. And we talked about earlier this week, looking for thank you. There's people out there that would be grateful to hear from God. And so we're called to live as holy strangers. We're called to live in the world, but not like the world. Mm-hmm. But yet we're called to love the world. We're to love everybody and to pray for them and to bless them and to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ in hopes that they too would enter into the family of God and they would no longer fit in. That's what we call a church. When you have a whole bunch of people who don't fit into the world because they made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, that's the church, that's people. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important for you not to give up the day of fellowshipping as the day grows closer, because you're fellowshipping with people that you fit with, people who love Jesus, who love the Word of God, who love, you know, you can eat together and talk together and sing together and worship together and do things together. And then when you go back out, you know, in the world, you're not worried about fitting in because you know where you fit. You fit in the body of Christ. Listen, living as holy strangers really helps out when we realize this world's not our home. We have a heavenly gaze. We're looking straight towards the heavens going, you know what? My Lord's coming back for me, but if I was to die now, don't have pity on me because I'm going to be present with my Lord. No more tears, no more sickness. Amen.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.